Congressman Grossman joins us now. He's just returned from the border, but I'm also looking at a letter dated November, maybe you want to show this, Logan, dated November 23rd, 2021. This is a letter, United States Representatives, and they're writing a letter. I think this is going to the acting director of the FDA. We'll ask him about this, related to further investigation into a drug to see if it might help for COVID. So we're going to talk to him about this. Congressman Grossman, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Lindell TV.
Well, glad to be on. Glad to, you know, try to inform your listeners a little bit what's going on here.
Absolutely. Well, you're in the great state of Wisconsin, and as you know, I'm on VCY America Radio Network every day. I've been working with them for 26 years out of Milwaukee on their 59 stations, and I think we have a mutual friend, Jim Schneider.
Yes.
So you're in a great state where we have a great voice, and there's a lot happening in your state. Your state is kind of on the spotlight on many, many issues. Of course, election, we just played some audio clips a while ago from the former Supreme Court Justice in Wisconsin before a committee. We're watching now what you're doing. So Wisconsin seems to be in the news again and again. I want to talk to you as a U.S. Congressman about your recent trip before we get into the letter you guys have written to, I think, the FDA acting director. You've just returned recently, Congressman, from the border, correct?
Right. Every time you go down there, you learn more. And really, you don't know what's going on until you're down there. Because to find out what's going on, you have to talk to the Border Patrol agents. You know, when you talk to the people up the top, you never really get, you know, the scoop. So every time you go down there, you learn a little bit more about the disaster that is the border.
So tell me, what did you see firsthand? It is a disaster. Were you seeing people pour over the border firsthand? Were you seeing video, live video feed? What were you seeing?
No. We stood at the border. I've been down there five times this year. When I was in Yuma, we watched people cross from the Mexican border into the United States to turn themselves into the Border Patrol. But the things I was not aware of is, first of all, you look on the path, and it's littered with photo IDs. In other words, people are coming here, be it from Honduras, be it from Venezuela, be it from Brazil, be it from Cuba, and they throw away their IDs before they get to the Border Patrol. Now, why would you do that? The only reason you do that is you want nobody to know about your past. And that kind of scared me, because people always say, oh, you got these wonderful people coming here. Well, if it's all so wonderful, why are you throwing away your IDs? The second thing I found talking to the Border Patrol is that many of these people come here because of advertisements done by the drug gangs in Central America, or perhaps Brazil as well, but for sure Central America. The reason the gangs advertise is they make a lot of money on these people, right? If you come here from Honduras, El Salvador, you may be paying $5,000 to $7,000 to the gangs. If you're coming here from Brazil, you're probably paying over $10,000 to come here. So they advertise on TV how wonderful it is, and that's one of the things that keeps people coming here. The other thing I learned that I was not aware of until last time I was down there is, you know, President Biden is, you know, trying to force Americans to take a vaccine. But for people coming here at the border, we know, and we already knew, that people, once they test positive, are put up in motels or apartments, and because they're not guarded, they leave into America. In other words, people we know are infected lead into America. But I was not aware that the Border Patrol feels they don't have the ability to test everybody. And if you're not going to test people, that means even more people are coming here. I find that of interest because on one area, President Biden is saying this is such a crisis that we have to people get fired from their jobs if they're not vaccinated. But on the other hand, when people are sneaking into this country illegally, we don't really care. And you wonder, therefore, what his real motivation is. You know, why is he making a big deal out of forcing people to get vaccinated when clearly, because of his behavior with people sneaking across the southern border, it's not really that important to him?
Yeah, you know, Congressman, you said so much there that is so important and yet troubling. Let me go back to them dumping their IDs. Who are these people? Congressman, how confident are you that our enemies, Islamic enemies, are not taking advantage of this crisis at the border and slipping in their jihadis?
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't, because the drug gangs will get them across the border. Now, I have been down there, and I've yet to see any Asians coming across, but they have told us that people say from China, they're paying over $20,000 each to come across, and the gangs will certainly get them across. Why wouldn't they for $20,000?
And then, of course, you've got the Islamic jihadis that, because I know they've reported in some of the news stations in Houston that they have found prayer rugs and other patches on jackets that denote that there are Islamists coming over the border, Congressman.
Well, we have heard that, and that's unquestionably true. And one of the things I will emphasize to your listeners, people are coming here from all over the world. A lot of times you think about the border, you think of people from Mexico, maybe you think of people from Honduras. People are coming here from all over the world.
Well, I was talking to a friend in Washington, D.C. today, and there are groups, you maybe have been briefed on this, I'm not sure what committees you're on, but there are groups in government in Washington that are working with research labs and universities around the country to develop all kinds of technology for national security. And this contact I have in D.C. was telling me about some technology they're working on to be able to detect nuclear material in something that would be like a nuclear suitcase. This is something we've been researching and talking about for years. As we know, former Soviet KGB officers have talked about that, who came and defected and wrote books on it. I think you can go to the Spy Museum in D.C. and see a nuclear suitcase there. And it was, I'm told it's got a note on there that was designed by my friend, former CIA analyst, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. But I find it interesting. My friend out of D.C. today is telling me, there's a group in D.C. in the government working with some research labs and universities around the country for the technology to be able to detect even the small amount of nuclear material that would be in a small nuclear suitcase. Again, when you're leaving your borders wide open, they could be bringing these small devices over our border, Congressman.
Well, and something I want to emphasize here. We do need, about the only place in the entire federal government we have to spend more money is at the border. And right now, your listeners, you know, as you watch on TV, there are a variety of huge spending bills going through Congress. The regular budget, the infrastructure budget, the reconciliation bill for could be over $4 trillion. More money for everything under the sun. About the only thing they're not spending more money on is Border Patrol agents. And that is the one thing we need more people on, because as we have this deluge crossing the border, so many of our agents are tied down doing paperwork. Many of the people coming across the border are unaccompanied minors. So obviously if a five-year-old child shows up at the border, that takes a lot of time for the Border Patrol agent. But as the agents are spend more time processing these people, there are less agents guarding the border. And we desperately need more people there. The amount of additional spending everywhere is just wild, not only in the reconciliation bill, but in the regular budget again and again. 20% increases, 200% increases on every program you can think of. But when it comes to one of the core activities of government, Joe Biden is proposing hiring no new Border Patrol agents, which is also just, it's like you want to destroy the country.
Thank you, because that was my next question. Wouldn't you only do this unless you deliberately are trying to create a massive crisis, a manufactured crisis to exploit? Not to mention, I guess, get them all in here, because we know that we have one representative that worked with the Obama administration. His name slips me, but he's in one of my documentaries. But he is on video saying if we can get some 16 million illegals to be registered voters in citizenship, we can win every progressive election from here on. So it's either about adding more to the voting rolls. It's either about the Cloward Piven strategy from the husband and wife team out of Colombia to overwhelm the welfare system and collapse it. Or it's about opening our borders and allowing our enemies to come in order to bring down America as this great beacon on a hill for liberty and freedom. I mean, you would only do this if you want to bring down America. You said it right.
Right. And, you know, when the Soviets were trying to take on America, they probably still are, but when they were, they would say quite boldly that they were not going to take down America in a military fashion. It wasn't going to be because of the tanks or the missiles or the ships. They were going to take it down internally.
Yes.
And what better way to take it down than to put another 10 or 20 million people in this country who are not particularly loyal to America?
Exactly. Well, Congressman, where's your district? Where's District 6? What cities?
I'm in Wisconsin, and I represent the area along Lake Michigan from a little north of Milwaukee to a little south of Green Bay.
Okay, well, I know where those areas are. I mean, those are our stomping grounds and doing conferences there forever. What committees do you sit on, Congressman?
Well, I'm on the Education and Labor Committee. I think that's my favorite committee because, of course, education deals with the future of America. That's why I asked to be on that committee. And, of course, right now our education system is not helping us. I'm also on the Budget Committee, and I'm on the Government Oversight Committee.
All right, let's talk economics then real quick before we get the letter to the FDA acting director. It looks like an acting director. Let's talk about the economy, the budget and economy. I mean, I think the real rate of inflation from guys that I study like John Williams at shadowstats.com, if we go with the original way to calculate inflation since the 1980s, which they changed, but if you go back to the 1980s way of they calculated inflation with consumer pricing indexed, I don't think we're at 4.5% inflation, as we're being told, but his stats show that we're probably 11% at least, because I know they changed the basket of currencies. Like if steak gets too expensive, they just automatically assume that families have substituted it for like chicken. And so reality is this inflation is starting to be a massive hidden tax on all citizens. Do you want to speak to this? Because I don't think we can sustain this long term.
Well, we have big problems here. You're right. Inflation is one of them, and you're right. I think the government is understating it. I mean, the price of a new house, you look at the price of a gallon of gasoline, you go to the grocery store and see what you're spending on this and that. You go to factories, and I tour a lot of factories in my district. It's not unusual to have the metals that they need for manufacturing this country to have gone up 400 or 500%. So inflation is unquestionably higher than we're being led to believe. You wait till, if you're in the northern part of the country, you wait until you have your heat bill this year. You know, you'll be grateful if it would only go up by 7 or 8%. It's going to go up a lot more than that. So, right, we have a lot of inflation, which, of course, is caused by excessive spending. Wildly excessive spending, and it's going to make it more difficult to live as an American, more difficult to maintain a middle class lifestyle that we've been accustomed to.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this letter. This is a letter that you signed on to, Logan, if you want to show it. Dear Director Collins and Acting Director Rutter, this letter is to the National Institutes of Health and the National Center for Advancing Translation Scientists. I guess that's the acting director. I thought it was the FDA. So this didn't have anything to do with the FDA, does it? Nothing, Congressman?
No. The things we're looking for here is I really think our government should be doing a better job with the COVID, and that's on a variety of aspects. But one of them, wouldn't it be great if we could find a cure for COVID? You know, I'm sure on this show you've talked a lot about mandates, you know, forcing people to get shots or lose their job. And this would not be that big a deal if you could take a pill and you'd make the COVID go away. Now, there are a couple of researchers from Israel, and they're also doing some research in the University of Pennsylvania in conjunction with these folks from Israel. They've got a drug called fenofibrate, which has been around a long time. It's a safe anti-cholesterol drug. They, in a smaller study of only 15 people, they took 15 people who had the COVID. Not only did they have the COVID, but they were on oxygen, had pneumonia. They gave them this drug fenofibrate for under $1 a day. And within 4 days, 14 of the 15 were out of the hospital. The other one was out of the hospital within 2 weeks. Now, this is a drug easily available. And we are doing some research at the University of Pennsylvania, but there's no reason why we can't have more money put into this, the University of Pennsylvania researcher has about 350 people. But we'd like to have 700 people in the trial, and we'd get a little bit more money there. Maybe we'd show that this drug would be the cure for COVID, and if we would have that, all these other personal impositions would have to go away. And I'm a little bit disappointed that the National Institute of Health or the National Center for Advancing translational sciences has not done a little bit more along these lines, as well, as the FDA.
Your letter says it'd be available for about $9 a month. Is that right?
Right. Almost nothing. As is true of so many generic drugs. Right now, you know, if you were jaded, you'd say maybe they don't push this as much because there's not a lot of money to be made.
Exactly.
And it's true. You know, I mean, some of these drugs, you know, you have drugs that cost you, you know, $500,000, more than that a dose. But if you have generic drugs, and this is a drug that's been proven to not be harmful because it's been used in an anti-cholesterol drug for 30 or 40 years without any, you know, side effects. But obviously there wouldn't be as much money to be made if this was the magic bullet, which it may well be.
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman, thank you for being on with us tonight. And you're welcome back here anytime. You got my number, and we'd gladly have you back anytime you have an issue you want to talk about.
Oh, well, absolutely. And we should be monitoring these big spending bills and how they want to permanently change America. And we should be making sure that cheap cures for this COVID do not go unresearched.
Absolutely. Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate your being here with us tonight on Lindell TV.
Very good.
Congressman Grothman checking in tonight, District 6 in Wisconsin.